Good evening, 708, 720 WGN, greatest city in the world, greatest radio station on the planet, Chicago, Illinois, WGN Radio. All right, Patty Vasquez is off tonight. It's me, Andrea Darlis, and I'm carrying the show solo for about an hour and a half. We have Blackhawks hockey coming up at 8:30 tonight, so a shortened show. Happy Halloween to everybody. I know trick-or-treating is still going on in some areas till 8 o'clock, but in many areas it's over, so hope all the kids got lots of delicious candy and people didn't run out like me, so it's okay, though. It was a very happy festive trick-or-treat. Eric Rung is in studio from WGN Radio and WGN TV. Did you do any Halloween festivities today? Or
no, I did not at all.
You were in court.
I know.
Yeah, right.
I actually, it was great. I went to the gym before coming over here to do the show here. And
Let me guess, no one was there.
There actually were people there, and they had a bowl of candy.
Get out at the gym?
No, at the gym. They weren't even the fun size. They were the mini size, though.
Gotcha. The smaller size.
Yeah.
Did you hear, Steve Cochran the other morning, it was so funny. They were doing how much exercise or how much bedtime exercise you would have to take care of in order to burn off calories. And I think the most caloric candy was, I don't know if I forgot if it was the Snickers or the Reese's peanut butter cups.
Right.
Had the most calories.
Hmm.
Yeah. So at least they had the minis at the gym.
They were, yeah.
You know, at least they had the minis. And for those wondering, yes, I did get candy yesterday. I posed the question, if I had some candy from last year, should I give it out, you know, because it's been a year. I've had it in a Lazy Susan in the pantry, and people were texting, and friends of mine even were saying, you cannot give out last year's candy, so I did not.
Yeah, oh.
New candy. I know.
I mean, come
I know.
On.
People were very passionate about this, though, Eric.
Well, I can imagine so, but
yeah.
I mean, come on. It's kids. It's candy.
You know what?
They're going to eat it.
I ate it.
They're going to eat
they
it.
They eat it. I've eaten things in my fridge that have been older than that. So condiments, you know, mustard and ketchup's in there for
that
years.
That never goes bad,
years.
Does it?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I should check the labels more often, but rest assured, I think it was a safe and happy, healthy Halloween.
Well, then you got that candy when you go home then, right?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah. No, that's right. Exactly. That's what I threw it out.
Oh.
Yeah.
They got
it
to you.
It wasn't that
they
much.
They got to you.
They did get to me. The listeners got to me. My friends got to me. My friends in Aurora.
I was on your side.
I know you are. Thank you, Eric. You always have my back. I love you. Hey, so you were in court today. Jason Van Dyke made a court appearance. I think originally today was supposed to be his. It was supposed to be
supposed
a sentencing
to be a sentencing.
Date.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this hearing lasted less than 5 minutes.
Okay. Less than 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes.
And he was in court.
Jason Van Dyke made the trip from the Quad Cities. That's where he is being held right now before his sentencing is completed by the judge. So they took about a 3-hour drive. They got him here. He's in a bright yellow jumpsuit. He walks in. He looks, you know, pretty much the same, maybe a little tired, but
okay. Does he get to see his family?
He does,
okay.
But that's after. So
Okay. Basically
what happened today, he came in, the attorneys talked to the judge a little bit, and then the defense attorneys, which is very standard after a guilty verdict it comes in, is they filed two motions. Mm-hmm. One, to basically say that the prosecution didn't make their case and that he should throw it out or he should at the very least have a new trial. Now,
okay.
They also had another motion that said that basically saying that Judge Gahn, who oversaw this case, erred when he didn't rule on the change of venue motion prior to doing voir dire with the jury, which
okay.
is basically the questioning of the jury.
Right.
Again, all very standard things that happen. Rarely do judges grant them.
Right, because it's the same judge. It would almost have to be like the judge saying, oh, you know what? I should have granted this.
Well, I mean, they'd have to be egregious errors. But the mm-hmm. reason why they really do this is basically so when they go to the appellate court, they can say, we argued this in front of the judge, and so we have standing now to bring it to the appellate court. Whereas if they did not
mm-hmm.
argue it at the level that they're at now, then they couldn't bring it up at the appellate court.
Okay, gotcha.
So now, it's basically for the next level is what's going to happen here.
All right, so do we have an idea when will sentencing be?
So now there's another hearing,
okay.
And this part is a little unusual because most of the time judges will just rule on those motions almost immediately and say, no, we're not going to do that and dismiss them. However, in this case, because it is unusual, and it's been unusual since the start, Judge Gahn did set a December 14th hearing date.
Okay.
And on
December
that December 14th. Okay. So then all the attorneys, and including Jason Van Dyke, will be brought back here to Cook County, and they'll have arguments on the motions that were filed by the defense attorneys today.
Okay, so what's the reasoning again for why he's way out in the Quad Cities? Why he's being housed out there and not...
Safety reasons is what we were told. We asked his lead attorney, Daniel Herbert, today about any threats that he knew about, and he didn't go into any specifics. He just said that he was moved just for safety reasons. He is in isolation, which means the only people that he has contact with are a few guards, and he's in isolation for 24 hours a day. We asked him what he does to pass the time.
Right.
He said he reads a lot of books, and he does some exercising. He figured he does push-ups and dips and anything to pass the time.
Oh, my gosh. So he is, wow, he's literally gone from, you know, one side of their earth to the other.
Yeah. And his family, Herbert did say that his family has come down to visit him, including his daughters.
Okay.
And his wife on a few occasions. And they did after the hearing today. They had some time with him before he was going back to the Quad Cities where he's being held right now.
Okay. We're talking to WGN-TV's and WGN Radio's Eric Rung about the Jason Van Dyke trial. Want to ask you about the other case going on as well with the other three police officers now being charged in connection with this. Can you hang for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this on 720 WGN. 718, 720 WGN. Happy Halloween to you. We are on the air for about another hour and 15 minutes or so until the Blackhawks play hockey right here, as I said, 720 WGN. And, of course, you can hear the game streaming, too, on WGNradio.com. Talking to Eric Rung. He was in court today for the Van Dyke trial, for the post-trial motions.
And exactly.
And he'll be sentenced December 14th.
Well, no, that's when they're going to hear
arguments
on the motions.
Yeah.
And we all expected that he would set a date for sentencing today.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Didn't.
But is there a reason why? I mean, do we know why, or is it just he's...
Well, like I said, you know, it is unusual for a judge not to rule on these motions almost immediately when they're filed, because they're almost never granted.
Right.
And so that was unusual. And then he took the next unusual step is to set the hearing for December 14th. Again, everything about this case has been unusual since the beginning. And I think it's probably, and this is just me, you know, my hypothesis on why, is just this is a very high profile case.
Right.
And they want to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, because this is going to be appealed.
Yeah, and are you hearing any buzz? Of course, prosecutors are going to probably ask for a very stiff sentence and throw the book at him. Defense attorneys, of course, are going to either want probation or time served or a very light sentence. Are you hearing any buzz about where Judge Gaughan might sit on this or might rule on this?
No.
And, yeah, I know, I haven't either.
Typical from Judge Gaughan.
Right.
So, and it's very confusing on this, because the second degree murder charge, it sounds like it's more serious.
Yes.
And it is a serious charge. There's no question about that. However, they judge could give Jason Van Dyke probation for that.
Yeah.
However, on the aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, you remember 16 counts of that.
16 counts, right,
for each shot. He has a minimum of 6 years in prison. Now, he could do it congruently. So if he rules on all of them and says you get 6 years for all of them, then you can add that up and do the math on that. Or he could you could say, you know, you have to serve him one right after another.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of up in the air. I would be shocked if he didn't do at least some of them congruently. But
but again, you're considering someone here who has no priors, no other criminal history.
Right.
So I don't know. I have a feeling he might go lighter, but then ask me tomorrow and I'll say no, he'll probably throw the book at him. So anyone can guess. Judge Gaughan. He's a pretty strict judge.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, even Herbert today, Van Dyke's attorney, said, you know, the sentencing on this is clear as mud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough case just because of the way it came down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, in addition to this, we're also kind of following from a distance, too. Three former police officers are also being charged with different crimes for covering up, basically, for Jason Van Dyke, who shot Laquan McDonald. Former Detective David March, former Officer Joe Walsh, and Officer Thomas Gaffney are charged with official misconduct, obstructing justice, and conspiracy, and their trial is it's going on right now.
Well, it's coming up. Pre-trial hearings yesterday.
Yeah,
they're thinking it could get started in December as well. But Joseph Walsh, you'll remember, he testified in the Jason Van Dyke trial.
He was with him that night.
He was his partner.
The partner
night. And then Detective David March and Officer Thomas Gaffney. Detective March was the one that investigated it. And so basically, what prosecutors are saying here is that you know, these three officers got together to file false police reports to make it seem as if 17-year-old Laquan McDonald was more aggressive that night back in October of 2014 than it actually showed on the videotape. They're saying they conspired to show that.
Right. You know, and to me, and this is just, you know, reporter playing, you know, armchair quarterback, I think that is going to be a little more difficult to prove, because that it would have to mean three different people now, well, four if you include Van Dyke, three different people are now conspiring and you know, forging documents and forging reports. So, you know, to speak to what their mind was, I mean, I think this is going to be a little bit more challenging of a case.
Well, prosecutors say they basically, they all met before, after the shooting happened, and usually witnesses are separated in these kinds of cases. This is what prosecutors are saying. And essentially, they wrote a lot of the same facts in their own reports and turned those in.
Okay, right. So now the attorney who represents March added some fuel to, I guess, an already inflamed proceeding when he accused the special prosecutor of misconduct and alleged that they misled the grand jury in order to further an unspecified political agenda. So now they're kind of pulling politics into this, too. And, I mean, that's a pretty serious allegation when you try to taint a grand jury.
Right. And he said this whole indictment is a sham.
Yeah, he called it egregious.
That was his big line.
Yeah.
That's not too surprising to me that a defense attorney would try to attack that. I mean, they're going to look at every angle that they possibly can. The prosecutor, they came back and said that's ridiculous. You know, we didn't mislead anybody.
Right.
But, you know, this shows, and I think it will go to how intense this case will be.
Now one was fired, I believe, right? So it says March was the lead detective in the shooting. Walsh, as you just said, Eric, was Van Dyke's partner that night, and Gaffney was one of the first officers at the scene. March and Walsh left the police department after the inspector general recommended that they be fired following his investigation.
So they left on their own terms.
Yeah, they left on their own, and Gaffney is suspended without pay.
Correct.
Okay, so I guess we'll see what happens in these proceedings as well. But again, so misconduct, obstructing justice, and conspiracy. Do we know, are these the last officers with regard to the Laquan McDonald shooting, or could there be more?
There could be more. I mean, I don't know of any more right now, but there absolutely could be more. You know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see what the special prosecutors want to do.
Right. Now, you covered as well, too, in addition to, I mean, you were pretty much in court every day for the Van Dyke trial.
Right.
I mean, that was quite an experience covering that, I'm sure, for you.
Absolutely.
And then the following, I don't want to say protests, but demonstrations that took place after that.
Mm-hmm.
And the demonstrators were pretty vocal about each day after court. You know, some showed up during the proceedings, either before or after, but they were pretty vocal. They would give statements to the media about, yes, we're going to be demonstrating. We want to make our voices heard. Have they given any indication, the demonstrators or the protesters, about when they might reappear? Are they going to be doing anything on this December 14th court date?
Nothing that I know of just yet. Will Calloway, who has been instrumental in number one, getting the video released to begin with, he was in court today. I did speak with him afterwards, and he was telling me that, you know, as far as today, he was disappointed that there was some sort of miscommunication, I guess, with the videographer and the judge about what could be shot and what couldn't be shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was a little upset that the world didn't get a chance to see convicted Jason Van Dyke walk in a jumpsuit, and that upset him quite a bit. He still believes, though, that Judge Gahan will hand down a fair sentence in this case.
Wow. All right. So we will have to see what happens. Eric, great job as always. Thank you. We know you had a long day. Happy Halloween. Any Halloween plans tonight? Or
no, go to bed. Yeah. Get up and report tomorrow.
That's right. You got to be at TV at 3:30. So we'll watch your reports in the morning.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks,
Andre. It's Eric Rung. And we'll keep you updated, of course, on the Van Dyke hearings and the proceedings ahead of his sentencing hearing and his subsequent sentencing. We'll be back with some news after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, David. 7:34 on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Dar. Patty has the night off. She is taking her kids trick-or-treating and spending the night with her family. Hopefully they're all in costume and having a great time. We want to wish everybody a happy Halloween. Hope you had a wonderful celebration today and got a lot of candy. But want to turn a bit somber for a few moments here and remember the 11 Jewish worshipers killed at the Tree of Life congregation in Pittsburgh last week. Just a very horrific and sad day. for members of the Jewish community and the country as a whole. And we wanted to talk to Dan Albaum. He is the Chief Advocacy Officer for the American Jewish Committee. And Dan, our condolences and our well wishes to everybody in your community. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with all of you for what you're all going through.
Thank you so much. It's kind of you to say.
Dan, I know this Friday and Saturday night, November 2nd and 3rd, you're encouraging Jewish leaders, civic leaders, all communal allies to flock the synagogues. Tell us what this campaign is and why we all really need to be aware and show out and support you this weekend.
Thank you. So, obviously, a tragedy of this magnitude happens, and as you mentioned, it's the worst is the worst and most violent act of anti-Semitism to ever have occurred on U.S. soil. And all types of complicated questions come up. But we wanted to come up with something simple and something unifying, and that was showing the world that we're not afraid and giving our many, many friends an opportunity to stand with us. And from that, show up for Shabbat was born. Shabbat is Hebrew for the Sabbath. It's a day that Jews traditionally go to synagogue on both Friday night and Saturday. And what started was with a few posts on social media encouraging has become a bigger and bigger thing. And now more and more people, not only Jews around the world, in South Africa and London, Europe, are saying that they're going to come, but our allies and the Christian, Muslim, and all types of communities are joining in that cry and indicating they want to show up for Shabbat as well.
Absolutely. I'm seeing it all over Twitter, Dan. It's hashtag show up for Shabbat, again, Friday night and Saturday, November 2nd and 3rd. But what I think is so poignant and so moving is what you just said, Dan, that members of the Muslim community, the Orthodox faith, the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, everybody is coming together as one. And to be one religious community.
No question. So I would encourage people to go to our website, www.ajc.org, just because we do have some not instructions but recommendations. If you have a friend who's a member of a synagogue, certainly reach out to them, see if you can join. Synagogues are participating. Other than that, we're happy to help you, refer you to synagogues that know people are coming, that are going to try to alter their service accordingly to be a little bit more user-friendly and make sure people have a comfortable experience. So really, we're doing this on the fly, certainly, because mm-hmm. the response has been so overwhelming and so wonderful. But we've got some terrific partners, and it really has shown so much in the face of a tragedy, so much of what's not only good in America, but good around the world.
And your message, as you said, you alluded to just a few moments ago, we are not afraid. I heard your CEO, David Harris, yesterday saying, we're not going to think twice about affirming our identity and our faith because we are not alone. And that's key. You're not going to think twice because you're not alone.
Exactly. And there was a time when one looks at Jewish history where we couldn't rely on our friends from other communities, from the government, et cetera. And thank God that's not a time. There's been no nation that's been better to our community than the American nation. This is a wonderful time, despite all our challenges in this country, to live here. And we do have friends who are willing to stand with us. And that's such an important message and such an empowering message. Hate crimes are message crimes. They don't just affect the people who are victimized, and we mourn for the 11 victims, but entire communities and society at large. And that's why statements like this are so powerful and so important.
I know, too, the AJC is encouraging synagogues, of course, to welcome the influx of attendees at the Shabbat services that are going on Friday night and through Saturday as well. Talk about some of the programming, too. I know there's going to be some explanatory programming, and some of the rabbis will dedicate their sermons to discussing this initiative, too.
Yeah, so we have sent sample sermons and a suggested prayer to be recited for this occasion. Rabbis are generally wonderful people, but strong personalities. So I imagine some will take our guidance and some will not. Mm-hmm. There will certainly be a variety of different services because that is the richness, certainly, of our tradition. So I imagine different synagogues will do things very differently. But synagogues are aware, as the world is really becoming aware, that this is going to be a big thing and that services should be treated a little bit differently, perhaps, just to make people, well-meaning people, understand what's going on.
You had such an outpouring of support. When I say you, I mean the Jewish community. I'm sure you've heard the stories all over the country and all over the world, too. I know there was a Muslim group in Pittsburgh that raised more than $100,000 for Tree of Life and for the Jewish community in Pittsburgh. Did that surprise you, or was that were you pleasantly surprised at that support, or did you expect it in the light of everyone coming together after a tragedy like this?
You know, we've been so successful in working with the Muslim community. At AJC, we take such pride in our Jewish Muslim Advisory Council, which not only we have a national unit, but groups around the country, that I can't say I was surprised. I can say that it is such a wonderful thing to see, and especially when you try to think about how, if you think about one's children, how do you explain something like this happened to your children, and that Jews were killed simply for the reason that they were Jews in America in 2018, but then can follow up with stories like that, that Muslims are contributing to the Jewish community, that African-American leaders are speaking out, that we have one case of an AJC as a global presence, a French Muslim parliamentarian, member of the French Parliament, who came to us asking where he could find a synagogue to go to because he wanted to show his support. It really is a global phenomenon and something that's really inspiring. And look, nothing can bring back those who lost their lives. And I'm not going to suggest this symbolic event has that type of power, but really just to inspire a community and really inspire the world, it's something really that takes my breath away.
Dan, we're getting a couple of texts here too. People are asking, if they're not Jewish, of course, how they can contribute, how they can help, and what they can do.
That's so wonderful that they're reaching out. I would encourage them to go to our website, www.ajc.org, where we do have information about how you can help. I know also that the synagogue, which you mentioned, the Tree of Life Synagogue, is accepting donations as well. I think that'd be a wonderful statement, too. Look, obviously, financial support is always welcome, but this campaign is really just about showing up and showing your support.
Absolutely. You brought up something, too, I want to address briefly, Dan. How do you explain something like this to your children? I remember after 9/11, we had, one of our news anchors had brought her son in, and because it was a horrible day. You couldn't get daycare. She had to come into work. She brought him in. He was about 4 years old at the time, and then a few months later, she said, "Do you remember that day when you came into Mommy's work, and do you know what happened?" And he said, he knew something bad had happened. But how do you explain this, especially to younger children who start asking questions like, what happened and why did this happen to us because we're Jewish?
You know, I wish I knew the answer. And luckily and thankfully in America, although I don't minimize anti-Semitism, we haven't known an act of violence like this. My parents never had explained something to me like this to me,
right,
occurring on U.S. soil. They, I'm the grandchild of Holocaust survivors. They had plenty to explain, but I didn't feel that immediate type of fear. That's such a common thing. So look, with my children, my wife and I sat down with them and explained to them in a straight tone, explained to them how there were so many good people in the world, and talk to them about that, but it's not an easy thing, and it's not something any parent of any faith should have to do with their children today.
Absolutely. There's been such an outpouring of support. Again, tell us, the campaign is hashtag show up for Shabbat. Put this all over Facebook, social media. I'm seeing it all over Twitter, too, as well, Dan. But tell people one more time what they need to do.
Go to our website. We would love people who are going to keep the hashtag going, to keep tweeting it out. It really is succeeding beyond our wildest dreams, which is just a wonderful thing. But please go to our website at ajc.org. Call us if you need additional information. Our Chicago office is a very strong office, wonderfully led. There are a few different synagogue events that are going on that they're encouraging people to go to. Both in the suburbs and in the city. So please reach out to us, and we'd be happy to help.
Absolutely. And Dan, thank you so much, and best of luck. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with all of you. So show up for Shabbat this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That is Dan Albaum. He is the Chief Advocacy Officer for the American Jewish Committee, which is based right here in Chicago. And as he said, too, go to church, whether you're Christian, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, whatever your religion might be. This truly is a time where everybody has to stick together. And as I said several times already during the interview, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody at the Tree of Life congregation in Pittsburgh after the 11 Jewish worshipers were killed over the weekend. So we'll take a quick break and come back after this on 720 WGN. 7:47 on Halloween night. The Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty has the night off. She's trick-or-treating with her family, and we are going to give away. It's Halloween. We ate all the candy. All my candy's gone at home. I think all our candy's here. We have some leftover cake. Did you get some of that leftover cake from the Halloween party, Michael?
Not just yet, but I saw it sitting there, and it looks oh so good.
You were so cute. There were cupcakes with gummy worms and whatnot, and we told our cleaning lady, Margaret, who's adorable, we said, take some cupcakes, and Michael, you're like, save me one. Save me a cupcake with a gummy worm.
Margaret actually just came in here, I just reminded her to let her know to save one cupcake.
Right, to save you a cupcake. Hey, let's give away some pizza. It's Halloween. As I said, all the candy's gone, but let's give away some pizza. 312-981-7200 is our number. After 8 o'clock, we are going to be joined by Evanston's Whiskey Thief Tavern. They're going to be bringing some spooky cocktails. The tavern is debuting their spin on the Witch's Brew this week, so it's very cool. Kind of reminded me of a big Bloody Mary where you have all these garnishes on top of a drink. So it's very cool. And they'll be joining us. And then a pregame with Chris Bowden, and then the Blackhawks are going to play tonight. So we will be with you for about another 45 minutes or so. So give us a call. We're going to be giving away some Lou Malnati's pizza. I have some Halloween trivia here. Let's see. First of all, I'll make it kind of easy. 50% of kids prefer to receive chocolate candy for Halloween, compared with 24% who prefer non-chocolate candy, and 10% prefer gum. Here's another one. The owl is a popular Halloween image. In medieval Europe, owls were thought to be witches, and to hear an owl's call meant someone was about to die. Ooh. The largest pumpkin ever measured was grown by Norm Craven, who broke the world record in 1993. It was an 836-pound pumpkin. All right, so give us a call. Again, 312-981-7200. We'll get some Lou Malnati's pizzas away. And let me give you one more. I'll do true or false because that seems kind of easier, because I don't expect you guys to know these stats. But let's see. The first known mention of trick-or-treating in print in North America was in 1927 in Alberta, Canada. How about that? So the Canadians kind of invented Halloween.
Wait a minute. Those Canadians.
Trick-or-treating. I know, right?
They're so smart and so fun.
Yeah, hey there. Okay, so who should we take, Michael?
You know what? I think we have some great callers. Kevin was our first caller, so I think he would be amped up for some Halloween trivia.
Let's talk to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
All right, you ready for this? This is for a Lou Malnati's gift card. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizzas. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnattis.com. So this will be true or false, okay, Kevin?
Okay.
Okay. Because the movie Halloween, filmed in 1978, was on such a tight budget, they had to use the cheapest mask they could find for the character of Michael Myers, which turned out to be a William Shatner Star Trek mask. Is that true or false?
False.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's true. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But happy Halloween to you.
I tried.
You definitely did. You can try and call again. All the lines are jammed. Sorry, Kevin. Did you know that, Michael?
I think I've heard that in the folklore over the years. It's really, it makes sense because you look at the mask and you're like, oh.
It kind of does look like him.
Yeah, kind of does look like William Shatner.
They were on such a cheap, tight budget that they had to use a William Shatner Star Trek mask. So Shatner initially didn't know the mask was in his likeness, but when he found out years later, you know what he said? He was honored. He was honored that Michael Myers was based on him.
I think he has a good sense of humor about it.
I think so, too. All right, let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
All right, this is true or false. This is for a Lou Malnati's pizza. True or false? According to Irish legend, jack-o'-lanterns are named after a stingy man named Jack, who, because he tricked the devil several times, was forbidden entrance into both heaven and hell. So he was condemned to wander the earth, waving his lantern to lead people away from their paths. True or false?
Now that sounds pretty true.
You're absolutely right. Congratulations. You're the winner of a Lou Malnati's pizza gift card. Hold on
one
second.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. Did you know that, Michael?
What was it? I
know you were answering calls. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's true.
Oh, my gosh.
At least according to FactRetriever.com. According to Irish legend, jack-o'-lanterns are named after a stingy man named Jack, who, because he tricked the devil several times, was forbidden entrance into both heaven and hell, and was condemned to wander the earth, waving his lantern to lead people away from their paths.
Huh. That's a lot of backstory for those pumpkins.
I know, right? All right, let's do one more. Who should we do?
We've got, I think Bob was our guy after Andrew.
Okay, hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Happy Halloween. You ready for your trivia question here for a Lou Malnati's gift card?
I sure am.
Did you give away a lot of candy tonight?
I was actually out of the house. Couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Lucky me.
All right, here we go. This is true or false. Trick-or-treating evolved from the ancient Celtic tradition of putting out treats and food to placate spirits who roamed the streets of Samhain, a sacred festival that marked the end of the Celtic calendar year. So trick-or-treating basically was an ancient Celtic tradition. True or false?
I'll go true with that one.
You're absolutely right. Very good.
Fantastic.
Did you dress up at least this year?
No, I'm working tonight, so I couldn't do it.
We didn't either. I wore a little orange, but that's about it. All right, hold on 1 second. There you go. Congratulations, giving out a couple of Lumel 90s cards. Are you going to any Halloween parties? Did you end up dressing up, Michael?
You know, I went to all the Halloween parties this Saturday, so I didn't dress up for today. And I put on this hunter outfit. I guess.
Noticed that you're so, like a lumberjack.
It's like just from my closet though.
Because you're growing a beard.
I'm growing the beard. I thought it fit in with the Halloween theme of everything.
I like the beard.
Thank you very much.
It
yeah.
looks good. What did you go as?
Beard just comes from laziness, but no, I went as the Captain America onesie on Saturday, and I played a show over in downtown Chicago. I host an open mic night.
Yeah.
And so I sat there just playing guitar as Captain America all night. It was kind of fun.
That's very cool.
Yeah. What's your like best go-to costume? Like, what's like the year that you're like, you know what, I'm going to go all out, and you went to a few parties, and you got one actually ready?
You know, I used to love Halloween, dressing up and whatnot. I haven't mm-hmm. been to a party in a couple of years, but... Mm-hmm. I usually dress up for our party. I didn't go this year because I was doing a couple other news things, mm-hmm. and it was so early today. Our
yeah,
party
I missed
was at noon.
I missed it too. At
I
noon?
Know we miss it. I know Come we miss on. All the fun. We just get to see all the pictures of everybody and eat the cake that Margaret and the cupcakes that Margaret saves
we
for
could,
us.
Yeah, we could have just gone as like sleeping zombies. I suppose
you know I know right
next year.
Right because that's kind of what we are most of the time anyway, sleeping zombies. My favorite, gosh, oh, what did I go as? You know, last year we had a fun costume. We went as the YMCA. So it was me, Judy Pyla, Kim Gordon, Stephanie, and I believe Marsha, one of our producers. We did the YMCA.
It's funny you say that because you can see all of these photos on WGNRadio.com.
Yes,
so
I
saw the gallery that we had posted, and I saw the YMCA people, the village people.
Yeah, the village people. That's it. Yeah.
Who was Marsha, though?
The Native American.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was going to say the Indian, but
yeah,
be PC. It was the Native American PC. Representative of the village people.
Yes.
I was a police officer. I think Judy was the cowgirl. No, Stephanie was the cowgirl. Judy was the construction worker, and Kim was the leather guy. The lead singer. Right? Isn't that what
you know what's so funny about that band? It's like, yeah, you're trying to be PC, but and they were all just tropes of these different kind of popular groups back in like the 1970s.
Yeah.
They are like the most popular band at Milwaukee Summerfest every single year.
Are they really?
They
but
play
Kim is too
last...
short to be the leather guy.
I know. She looked great,
I mean, she's
though.
She's tiny.
She looked good. Mm-hmm.
Well, but, yeah, she does. She works out.
Is there a height requirement to be the guy strapped in leather?
Yeah, right.
Or well, the, I mean, he's... Well, if you remember the original band, he was...
he was the tall one.
He was buff, you know?
Yeah, so was the police officer, too. And, you know, I'm sure I didn't do that guy. That cost him any favors.
Yeah, but you're taller, so you can pull it off.
Thank you, David.
You're
did
welcome.
You dress up? Were you... Do you dress up on Halloween?
Not since I was a kid.
No. I do like to. I like it, though. My go-to used to always be a pirate. You know, because it was easy. I was a pirate in college and then post-college. What's your go-to, mm-hmm. Michael?
My go-to, I think the most I've ever been was just the runner, which is like
the
every
runner.
Guy. Just like you wear some short shorts and like a jersey.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And but, a headband?
Yeah.
Like
that,
the Jim McMahon headband?
And that was it. And or I was the lead singer of Alkaline Trio, Matt Skiba. This is such a small group of people who are going to appreciate this, but I used to be him, so I used to do the makeup with the
Like
ghost makeup. He's like a part of a punk rock band, so.
They're awesome. Alkaline Trio, they play at the Metro every now and again,
I just got some tickets for the January 1st through the 4th show.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what day are we going?
Are you free on the 3rd?
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm there.
You're
it's
in.
A date. You got it. All right, 7:57. We'll be back with David Jennings and the news after this on 720 WGN.
Their house is a museum.
Happy Halloween. 807, 720 WGN, the Pat Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty has the night off, and we hope you had a wonderful Halloween. We have Wesley James in studio with us from the Whiskey Thief Tavern in Evanston. Hey, Wesley.
Hi, how are we doing?
Thank you for coming in, because I know this is a very busy night for you guys.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Whiskey Thief Tavern.
Whiskey Thief Tavern is in Evanston, Illinois. It is a whiskey-focused bar and restaurant with classic American fare as well.
Very cool. And how did it get its name?
So the Whiskey Thief is actually a tool that master whiskey distillers use to pull whiskey out of barrels to taste to see where it's at to make sure it's to their specifications, quality control, etc.
Okay, very nice. And where exactly are you guys? I know I've passed you a bunch.
616 Davis Street in Evanston.
Okay, and you have some very special Halloween cocktails that you guys are serving tonight.
Yes, we do.
Tell us about the Witch's Brew.
So the Witch's Brew is going to be a tequila-based cocktail with some orange liqueur, some pomegranate liqueur, lime juice, simple syrup, and then we use a raspberry syrup that we put around the rim so it drips down to look like blood.
It did look like blood. When you walk in with the glass, I'm like, wait a minute. You went, no, it's just raspberry syrup?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. And these are hugely popular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you left. I said you were kind of pulling you away from Halloween.
Yeah.
But this is a big night for you guys.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So we're actually doing a movie night on Wednesdays. And since Halloween happened to fall on a Wednesday night, we decided that we were going to show some really cool Halloween movies.
Oh,
so
nice. Lean up into that a little
bit. We're actually doing Hocus Pocus at 9 o'clock.
With Bette Midler?
Yes.
It's one of my favorite Halloween movies.
Yeah, that one's for the kids. And then once, you know, we get to a little bit later in the night, we're going to do Halloween.
The original with
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Nice. Did you see the new Jamie Lee Curtis one?
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list. I'm probably seeing it tomorrow, actually.
I haven't either, and I heard it's good.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
She's awesome, though. Jamie Lee Curtis can still rock it.
Fantastic.
All these years later. Are you a scary movie fan?
More so now than I was when I was younger.
Younger, yeah, because you get scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Big time. Poltergeist was kind of the big... When I was growing up, Poltergeist was huge. Halloween, yeah. Friday the 13th.
It's a Poltergeist and It were the two that...
It just creeps me out.
Yeah, but the new one was so good.
Oh, God. I couldn't sleep for a week.
Oh, that was so good.
Patty and I have been talking a lot about... Have you seen The Haunting of Hill House?
I haven't. It is on my list.
It is phenomenal. I mean, it's so good. It's scary, but it's so smart, and it's just filmed so beautifully. So you got to see Hill House.
Yeah, it's on my list. I'm trying to finish Sabrina first.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wait, Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah, the new one on Netflix.
Okay. I thought you meant the old one.
No, I've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah, you keep just watching over and over again. But this is super cool. And you have another fall drink that you're going to make as well, too.
Yes.
But this goes through the whole
yes,
month of November, too.
Yes, this one's actually going to be on our fall cocktail menu.
Okay.
So I'm just going to have to shake it up real
quick. Yeah, you shake it up. Tell us what you're doing as you're doing this, because half the fun of parties and going out now is just the funky cocktails.
Yeah. So this one is, it's called the Copper Penny. It is a apple cider-inspired cocktail. It's a it's bourbon, spiced rum, lemon juice, a spiced pear liqueur, some apple bitters, and then it's topped with this Grand Poppy Amaro, which is kind of this like vegetal liqueur.
Very nice.
And it actually got it. We're calling it the Copper Penny because when you're making hard apple cider, when it's fermenting, it's likely to give off sulfur. So it like olden days, they would actually put, when pennies were 100% copper, they put them on the bottom of the barrel to
create that
absorb
smoke?
The sulfur.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Does it smoke like that too? You know how sulfur, you know, if you go to like
no,
a sulfur
mine. No, it's just
mine.
Like a harsh flavor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
But that doesn't smell like sulfur though.
Yeah. Well, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
That's what the Copper Penny is
That's
for.
Okay. That's all right though. There it goes. I'm always amazed by mixologists. Do you go to, I know you're one of the chief bartender there. Do you go to a special, you know, school to not just bartending school, but to learn how to kind of do the whole cocktail Tom Cruise thing?
No, honestly, most of
because you're very good at that.
Yeah, most of the people just learn from experience. There are bartending schools, and there's a kind of a mixed opinion on them.
Okay.
The biggest is that they're not getting to do like day-to-day bar stuff. They're learning how to make cocktails, which is great, but there's also, you know, a little bit, you have to learn how to handle how busy a bar can get.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which is just
Do you ever toss the bottle or kind of spin something
and break
a glass?
No, okay. I'm too uncoordinated for that.
You're very good at that, though.
We don't need to break bottles.
You don't need to do that. Tell me some other specials that are going on at the Whiskey Thief Tavern. You guys, you were talking about your menu, which sounds awesome, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, we always have DJs Fridays and Saturdays. Monday nights, we do Drink Evanston night. So we carry a bunch of beers and few spirits. in Evanston, so we put those on a discounted price to encourage to support your local community. And then
yes, please support your local community.
Yes, and then Tuesdays we actually do trivia nights as well.
Oh, I love that! I'm glad you guys still do that.
It's a lot of fun.
That is so much fun. I know we pulled you away. We're going to send you back in a little bit. You're going back to the bar, but it was hopping when you said you
we're
left.
Starting to
get ready. Now, will the party really get started once you get back and once the movie begins?
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. Why has Halloween just become so huge? I mean, it's just become such a popular holiday. They said, Roe was giving out stats before, how many millions of dollars are spent just on costumes and parties and Halloween nowadays?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't care.
And you got your mask.
A lot of fun.
Who are you? You're a scary man.
I'm going to a masquerade.
You're a scary man. You match Michael's lumberjack shirt. You guys could go as like killer lumberjacks.
We could be a little bit of a team, like a duo costume. Like
yeah, let's do it.
A couple costume.
Black and red, black and red. Yeah, exactly, right? What are some of the cool costumes that you're seeing this year? I've seen a ton of Wonder Woman,
I've seen a ton of Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Marvel in general, I've seen a lot of kids dressed up as
Captain America. I saw Batman and the Joker, like the old school Joker, tonight too.
I saw the deviled eggs on my Facebook feed today.
Did you really?
Yeah, they were eggs and then they had devil horns.
Those are cute.
Yeah.
They were coming up with some of the last minute costumes, you know, the typical. Oh, someone said, this is funny, go as a picnic and you just put like a tablecloth on and then staple all the little ketchup packets and the mustard packets to you, and then plastic forks and knives, and you go as a picnic. That's kind of easy.
Yeah. But, or like the box of cereal, and you just stab a knife through it, and you're like a
serial killer.
Yeah. Like, all right, we get it.
I saw a ton of Black Panthers, too.
Yeah.
Little kids going as Black Panther, and then the general, you know, the woman who was the general with the orange costume and the spear.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, Wesley, thank you so much for coming in. Tell us again, real quick, about the Witch's Brew and what's in that.
So, Witch's Brew is tequila, orange liqueur, lime juice, simple syrup. And then a little bit of pomegranate syrup or pomegranate liqueur, and then raspberry syrup on the rim. And then the Copper Penny is going to be bourbon, spiced rum, spiced pear liqueur, lemon juice, a spiced simple syrup we make in-house, topped with the Grand Poppy Morrow, and it gets a cinnamon sugar rim.
That sounds like a perfect drink, too, when it gets colder. This was a crazy Halloween. It was so nice out.
It was very nice.
Normally, it's freezing cold. I'm glad for the kids, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and for the adults who are having their, you know, Halloween cocktails at the Whiskey Thief Tavern. Where can we get more information, and where can we find you again in Evanston?
WhiskeyThiefTavern.com is our website, and then I'm there 5 days a week behind the bar, slinging drinks, making people happy.
Ask for Wesley. Are you going to wear the mask all week, too?
Probably not.
Okay.
It's a little hard to see in.
Wesley, thank you so much. Everybody head out to Whiskey Thief Tavern and try the Witch's Brew. That's tonight. And what's the other drink?
Copper Penny.
Copper Penny. We'll have more after this on 720 WGN. WGN. About 10 more minutes for me, Andrea Darlis. Patty Vasquez has the night off. She's trick-or-treating with her family, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Halloween, and kids got tons of candy. Real quick, since we just have a few minutes here, Chris Bowden's getting ready for pregame. He'll be on in just about 10 minutes or so. But, Michael, you have the official 2018 list that you found as of today. The numbers change daily. The 25 most popular Halloween candies in America.
Ooh,
all right,
yes.
So what's your favorite?
Is my favorite now as an adult or as a kid when I used
Both.
To get them? Okay, when I was a kid, I used to love whenever I would get either the Charleston Chews or the Butterfingers, like the full-size ones,
which
were so rare. It was like, did McHenry County run out of the full-size candy bars when I was a kid?
Oh, my God. I love the Charleston Chews, too. Mm-hmm. Those are probably one of my favorite candy bars ever.
Yeah.
It's so cool that you said that. Did you put them in the freezer?
Oh, all the time.
We did, too.
Oh, because for some reason...
And you, like, break a tooth practically when you eat it. Yeah.
You want, like, the... It's like a dog toy, actually. After
yeah, it
a while.
Is.
Because you can't chew through them. But now as an adult, I don't know what kind of my favorite candies anymore. I still, you know what, to be honest, I'll just come out and say it on air. I love candy corn. I always have loved candy corn.
I'm sorry, what?
I love candy corn.
Who are you?
There's this anti candy corn sentiment
there
that's going on.
There is an anti candy corn movement. I don't know why all the hate for candy corn.
And it was just this past year. I thought we were cool with candy corn.
I thought
years.
We were too. I don't know why all the hate for candy corn. They're the number 6th most popular candy in America. Number six is candy corn.
I thought, you know, to be honest, I thought it would be higher. I thought it would be a little bit higher.
Why are people so divided on this?
It's a very divisive issue, this candy corn thing, and it needs to end right now. Because
You're a lover of
candy
corn.
Is there anything, we could put this out to our listeners, too. Is there anything better than just a handful of that candy corn, just putting it in your mouth? And
yes, everything. No, I'm kidding. I used to go back and forth, because that's like my grandma. That was kind of her candy. You know, we'd go to my grandma's house and she'd either have a bowl of candy corn or on the fall, you know, the fall season, mm-hmm. or she would have those orange slices.
Remember those
kind of old-fashioned mm-hmm. orange slices? She would always have those.
How could I forget?
But the candy corn. So I associate that kind of with like an older time, you know, a younger time. Yeah. But our boss, Stephanie, always, you know, around this time of year, fall, mm-hmm. has candy corn and M&M's. Yeah. But candy corn is the big one. I agree with you, though. Whether you love or hate candy corn, this list says you can't deny that this striped confection is synonymous with the fall season. Guess how many pounds of candy corn that they sell for Halloween?
Oh, man. That must
just
be their
for Halloween.
Seller. I'm guessing pounds?
Yeah.
2,000 pounds.
2 million. 2 million pounds of candy corn sold every Halloween season.
How is that possible? That's so much candy corn.
I know. Seriously. Hey, have you ever been to, there's the Affy Tapples. You know, everybody loves pretty much everybody loves taffy apples. If you ever have a chance to go to Niles and check out the Affy Tapple factory, they sell more taffy apples than any place in the world. The Affy Tapple factory in Niles. It's hard to say, isn't it? But if you've never been, you have to tour it. Patty and I did a video there about a year ago.
I think I remember that.
And it's online at WGNradio.com. We were like Lucy and Ethel trying to go through that taffy apples. And it is so hard. There is such an art. And these workers, mainly ladies who are very strong, you mm-hmm. know, they have total, you know, bicep,
they
tricep
muscles.
They
must have like Popeye forearms.
Michael, it's the hardest thing in the world because we had to take the sticks, stab them into the apple, and then whip them in the caramel, mm-hmm. and then whip them around in the nuts. It sounds easy. It's the hardest thing ever. Mine was so lopsided, and I said, "Oh, look, I did it." She's like, "Yeah, you can take that home."
Oh.
I said, "Are you sure?" She went, "Yeah, that we would never even sell that ever. That's pathetic.
Doesn't even get on the place."
Yeah, total hate from the Affy Tapple people, but. You know, they're right.
That's why they're so good, though. The perfection is important to the Affy Tapples.
Do you like them with or without the peanuts?
Oh, always with.
Me too.
Always with.
Me too. And then sometimes I see sprinkles mm-hmm. on them. That's good, but that's not the original. You have to get just the nuts.
I had one the other night, and it was so good because it was that red delicious apple, and it's just glistening. And they had the caramel on it and candy corn. Candy corn.
Get out. Yeah, did they really put candy corn on a taffy apple?
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Could I have sounded any more Chicago? They put candy corn on a taffy apple?
Stop it right there.
I know.
Go back to Wisconsin,
Come on, you hoser. You can't put candy corn on a taffy apple. All right. Speaking of that, I have to give a huge shout out to Dan's Homemade Candies in Joliet, where I used to work 20 years ago at WJOL. Dan's Homemade Candies in Joliet, they would make homemade toffee. And they would dip the apples in that. So that's delicious. I have to get out there and get some of those. But real quick, we'll go through some of these as well. Number 25, these are the 25 most popular Halloween candies in America. We'll go backwards. 25 is licorice. 24, Whoppers. 23, Lifesavers. I hated getting Lifesavers as a kid, didn't you?
Yes, they are so starchy. It's like you're eating chalk.
Yeah, and then they break immediately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lifesavers were bad. But the thing was, sometimes you would get the necklace of Lifesavers.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was kind of cool.
Or the bracelet, yeah.
Oh, but then you'd wear it, and then after a day, it's not the same.
I know, seriously, right? Okay, 22, number 22 was Twix, which I thought would be higher. I love Twix.
Mm-hmm. That's a great candy.
Those are my favorite. When I was growing up, we had a neighbor who would give out full-size Twix.
Oh.
See, rocket, right?
You were in a good neighborhood.
I was in a good neighborhood. But back in my day, Michael, we would trick-or-treat till it was dark, mm-hmm. and then we'd come home, dump the candy out, and go back out.
Oh.
So we were out like after, you know, after the trick-or-treating hours were over. Ooh, rebels.
Sneaky.
Number 21, Lemon Heads.
I do love a good Lemonhead.
Me too.
That takes me back to being a kid. We used to have this store called the Some Other Nuts, and we'd go there and buy 25-cent and 5-cent candies, and Lemonheads were always on the top of the list.
It was called Some Other Nuts?
It was called Some Other Nuts in McHenry County.
It's funny. It could be a business run by my family. That's funny. All right, so number 20 is Three Musketeers. I like those.
Okay.
People are divisive on those two, don't you think?
Divisive on those two? We had some, Roger Badish, our news guy, brought in a big old box of candy, and those were the last ones to be in the bag.
I like Three Musketeers better than Milky Way.
Whoa.
Yeah. So of those three, I like the Snickers the best, the Three Musketeers second, and then the Milky Way.
Well, it's just you're not really in for that that like tossed kind of, what is it, like fluffy in the
nougat.
The nougat, yeah.
In you say nougat or nugget?
Potato.
Yeah, gala or nougat. Gala? Number 19. This is weird. Double Bubble Bubble Gum.
Huh.
Our boss Todd has tons of that in his office.
Yeah, he's almost sponsored by Double Bubble.
Yeah, I think so. Bubble.
You know, there's a time since I've been working here that whenever I see Double Bubble, I automatically think of Todd.
I do too. I do too. And I think that's why I got a cavity last year. Because every time we meet in his office, we chew the gum. Because it's like a big dish of gum that he has out. And I got a cavity last year for the first time, I think, in 15 years.
Oh, geez.
So I'm going to blame it on the Double Bubble.
That just shows you how much Double Bubble you love.
Oh, exactly. Number 18, Kit Kat.
Okay.
Love Kit Kat.
Break me off a piece of that.
Break me off a piece of that Kit
Apple
Kat
sauce.
Bar. Number 17, Swedish Fish. Mm. I like those, but I didn't think people gave those out as Halloween candy.
You know, I guess it kind of depends. Like, because it's funny when you go to the houses, because the ones with the normal candy bars, you know, the Twix, the Snickers, and everything, they get cleaned out immediately. And the Swedish Fish, you're always like, oh, come on.
Oh, I like those. I like those. Got a TV. They still do that. Don't answer that. Number 16, Milky Way. Number 15, Blow Pops. Number 14, Butterfinger. Mm-hmm. Number 13, Pete McMurray's favorite, gross Almond Joy.
Oh, that's Pete's favorite?
Pete loves the Almond Joy and the Mounds. Oh. I love him, but that's crazy.
That's an acquired taste. He must have grown up on that.
Absolutely. It's just gross. 12 is Sour Patch Kids. 11, Taffy. 10, Jolly Ranchers. Again, if you're giving out a Jolly Rancher, come on. Spring for some chocolate.
You must not like
right?
children or something.
Number 9, Tootsie Pops. Number 8, any Hershey Mini Bar. Number 7, Hot Tamales. 6 is Candy Corn, your favorite. Starburst. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Number 3, Snickers. Number 2, M&Ms. And the number 1 candy this Halloween for 2018 is your Skittles.
Oh, okay.
Your Skittles. Hope you guys had a great Halloween. Chris Bowden coming up next with Blackhawks pregame on 720 WGN.